Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Psalm, Psalm 97, starting on Pew Bible page 483. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is King, let the earth rejoice, let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his adversaries on every side. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples behold his glory. All worshippers of images are put to shame, those who make their boast in worthless idols. All gods bow down before him. Zion hears and is glad, and the towers of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O God. For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. The Lord loves those who hate evil. He guards the lives of his faithful. He rescues them from the hand of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. Amen. In our New Testament lesson from the book of Acts, Acts 16, verses 16 through 34, and that will be on Pew Bible page 897. Hear the word of our God. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews, and I are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothes and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights and rushed in. He fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds, Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for the rain yesterday that waters our fields, our grass, that washes away the pollen and brings life and waters life. Lord, we thank you for the sunshine promised today, for the light that lights us, that warms us, that allows us to grow. Lord, may your light shine in our hearts. May it shine forth and lead us as we seek to serve you. May you illumine these scriptures to us this day. May we listen to what your Spirit is saying to us through your word and hear how we can be of service to you in this world. In your name we pray. Amen. Every time I hear this scripture, I can't help but think of that old adage that no good deed goes unpunished. The reality here is that the perspective of the goodness of the deed, though, does dictate on who is the person looking at this moment. When this miracle happens, there's someone who takes offense, as with other miracles. But this time, this miracle is a bit different. Usually there's something to do with religion, faith, cultural issues that is where the rumblings come from. When Jesus heals someone like last week, when he heals the man at the pool, there's rumblings about that miracle. Why? Because Jesus healed him on the Sabbath. There are religious rumblings. But here the rumblings and grumblings are not based in culture or faith. It's not Jesus healing a Samaritan. Oh, Lord, not a Samaritan. Or a Gentile. Not a Gentile, Lord. You can't do that, Jesus. You can't heal those sinners and tax collectors. It's not something like that. Instead, it's not the religious brokers that are angry about the miracle. It's not about faith. Unfortunately, it's all about money. In the moment here, the goodness of the deed is all changed by money. In this miracle in Acts, the woman, yes, she's been suffering, but her suffering has paid her owners, has allowed them to fatten their pockets, make a few extra dollars. After all, why not? Well, we definitely can form very strong opinions about these slave owners who would take advantage of this woman's state. We might want to use some very strong language when we describe them, because their greed, their out and out greed, puts a woman in a distressed condition and takes advantage of her and causes them to be upset when she's healed. This isn't the Pharisees being angry at Jesus over a point of faith. This isn't the Pharisees trying to have their walls broken down over Jesus healing the Gentiles or a Samaritan. No, this is people who owned a human being being angry because she is restored as a human being because they can't take advantage of her anymore. Pretty despicable, isn't it? But we don't get caught up in the despicableness of this act because this moves so quickly. She's healed, and instead of a celebratory parade, this moment where she goes and shows herself to the folks at the temple and says, "Hey, look, I'm healed." Instantly, these two men are dragged before the magistrate because of that greed of her owners. They're accused of disturbing the city. Their serving God gets them punished. They're beaten and thrown into jail. It's not exactly a thank you, is it? There's an overreaction from everyone. There's this instinctive over-response here. Instead of treating them as an annoyance, like a car stereo that's up too loud, they're thrown into the innermost part of the jail, the furthest part of the jail, and they're put in stocks. Not just chains, but stocks. They can't even walk around the prison. Can't even walk around their cell. There's this injustice in all of this miracle. There's this injustice in their punishment for healing a woman who was being taken advantage of. And if you're righteously indignant over how they're treated, good on you. Because there's something inherently wrong that Paul and Silas are the two in jail. There's an injustice here that they're in jail. But something happens to them. Because instead of shouting out as they're dragged away or as they're beaten, that they were just trying to do good, we were just trying to help, as the rods beat them again and again and again, they're peaceful enough to pray and to sing. Instead of trying to figure out how they're going to turn this moment into the great escape or escape from Alcatraz or the Shawshank Redemption, they're in there singing songs and praying. They are in a point of comfort in this injustice and suffering. Now, in my 42 years of life, I've seen people get to this point. Often it's around end of life, where somebody has undergone such suffering at the hands of a disease, cancer, heart disease, whatever, that they just have a different level of understanding. They just sit and say, "I'm just waiting for God." And you look at them and you understand that there is a peace of spirit in them. They're not worried about what tomorrow might bring because they know that at the very worst, they'll be with God. That's the worst that could happen to them. There's this amazing peace of spirit that's in them. And it just seems as if Silas and Peter are in that point. God's with me. What's the worst that could happen? And that peace of spirit seems to be growing in the jail. You hear of the other prisoners listening to their prayers, listening to them sing in the midst of a great point of suffering. They are at peace. And then the walls shake, the doors open, and their chains are loosened. And then the jailer runs in, and his world is in ashes. He has one job: don't let anybody get out. Okay, pretty simple job. And he takes a normal Roman response to his failure. He's going to fall on his sword, as Roman generals and officials do throughout the history of Rome. When the shame has hit that point and you can bear it no longer, you end it all for the honor of your family. And yet, in this lowest point of his life, Paul calls to him from out the darkness of the jail. "We're still in here. We didn't go anywhere. We're waiting for you. Just come on in, bud." And in the midst of his darkest day, what happens? He heals Paul and Silas's wounds. He asks, "What must I do to be a believer in this God who has given you this peace, who has given you this freedom now? What must I do?" There's a lot that happens in this story. A girl is healed, and for healing her, Paul and Silas, despite the injustice of the moment, they're thrown in jail, and God then opens the doors and loosens their chains. And instead of fleeing and running for the hills, Paul and Silas wait and stay where they are and save the life of the jailer from suicide. But God isn't done just yet in this moment, because God awakens in this man belief and faith. The scripture begins with Paul and Silas committing an act of mercy and kindness, an act of love by healing this woman. And then we see the reality of the moment laid bare when the right thing to do, which Christ obviously would have done, lands them in jail. Because her owners care more about profit than her and her life. Paul and Silas bear on themselves the weight of their deed. They know that there are going to be repercussions for what they do. They are beaten and thrown in jail for an act of mercy. And in that moment of great injustice, God works and is working. And God does something great. In this moment of Scripture, we see several truths laid before us. The first is that following God, doing a grace-filled, loving act, may and will have consequences. Consequences for the better and possibly consequences for the worse. Will we be thrown in jail for following God? Maybe. More likely now, we will be called silly, foolish, because of an act of love when it doesn't benefit us. When we tell someone of our faith, we'll be called ridiculous. "Why do you believe that? There's nothing logical in that." The fact of the matter is, we will have consequences when we follow God. We need to open our eyes and understand that if we don't feel consequences in our life when we follow God, we might not be following God. And so we need to understand that consequences as Christians exist. Be it challenging those in our lives who do not act and do not live up to what God has commanded. It means challenging ourselves and accepting the consequences on ourselves of following Christ. It means challenging a good friend for what they're doing and how they're acting. It means speaking truth and understanding that God is why we're following God. The last truth, though, is even greater. It's the reality of what God is able to do, even in the face of the most awful. Paul and Silas are beaten for healing a girl. They're thrown into jail. And what does God do? He shakes the foundations of the jail, sets them free. But then the story keeps on going because the jailer then is saved from suicide and comes to believe. In this lowest of lows, moment after moment of low in this circumstance, there is always God present and acting and moving. The moment God is there, every time, with them. God doesn't undo the awful that exists in these moments. He doesn't undo the fact that they've been beaten. He doesn't undo that the jailer has his life hanging by a thread, quite literally. But God is there, and God is working. God is present in these difficult times. It's hard to know that following God might not be the most popular thing, that doing what God calls us to do might have negative consequences. But the reality is, if there are consequences, God will be with us through them all. God will always be with us. Maybe there will be an earthquake loosening our chains and opening a prison door. But maybe it will be a voice crying out, like Paul to the jailer. God is present in all moments. We need to hear that, and hear that well. Because the path of faith is not an easy one. There are consequences for faith. There are struggles and moments of strain in our lives as we follow God, as we live out these lives of ours. But we can live them out, knowing that all along the way, God is with us. When tragedies happen, and Tuesday was awful. As the news came out this week, it got worse and worse about what happened. And the reality is, God was still present there. God is still present with us. As we wrestle with yet another mass shooting, as we wrestle with another time where children were murdered in large volume again, God is still present with us. as we watch stories of parents who will never see their children grow up, as we watch other parents cry as they drop their children off at school. As we watch all of this, we must know that God is present with us. No matter how hellish this existence gets, God is always with us. And he will never, ever desert us. I hope that we can continue to cling to this hope and always remember it, no matter how dark our days ever get. Brothers and sisters, trust in him. Listen to him. And cling to him.